Hosea chapter 13, verses 5 through 10. And again, verse 9 is the text verse. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore had they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done. Lord, I believe you're pleased with what's happened already here, but I know you're even more excited about the preaching than we are. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. You've done it so many times before, and yet we're a needy people. There are hundreds and hundreds of people in this room, and behind each person is another need. Father, please do what only the Holy Spirit can do and meet those needs today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
We are not a charismatic church in any way, shape, or form. And when I say that, we're not holy rollers. We don't roll around on the floor, froth at the mouth. But we love God. We love God, and we're not going to let this world steal our thunder. Not for a moment. If you'll listen to me today, you're going to hear the truth. Sometimes the truth is unpopular. To those of you that want to live hiding from the truth because it sometimes is more comfortable, you will struggle some as I speak. But I believe you'll hear the truth. And the Bible says, and if you know the truth can make you free. Hosea chapter 13, verse number 9, the Bible says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. It says, thou hast destroyed thyself, O Israel. You see, Israel had turned her back on God. Israel had left the God that she said that she loved. And Hosea the prophet here in Hosea 13 verse 9 says, thou hast destroyed thyself, O Israel. When someone destroys themselves, we call that suicide. And God, through Hosea, is saying, Israel, it's just like you've taken a gun and you put it to your own head. You turned your back on your God and you have destroyed yourself. Suicide is sin. It's wrong according to the Bible. In the Bible, there are many stories about suicide incidents, if you will. There's a story of Samson. Samson was chosen by God to be a great judge, but Samson chose to disregard the will of God, and Samson got yoked up with a gal by the name of Delilah, and as a result, Samson, the mighty and powerful Samson, loses his power. And he ends up suffering blindness, and he ends up working like an animal grinding corn in the enemy, the Philistines' mill. The Bible says in Judges 16, verse 28 of Samson, it says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up of the one, and his right hand, and on the other of his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Samson went to a place where the Philistines were. These are the ones that had put his eyes out and had stolen his strength. Took his hands and put it on two pillars of like a Colosseum, and he said, I'm going to die with them, but I'm going to have my revenge. And he knocked the pillars or knocked the props out from underneath this great big group of people, and he died there. But Samson, he had committed suicide. He knew what he's doing. He said, I'm going to die here today. May I say it was wrong for Samson to kill himself. It was wrong. There's a story of this Saul in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel 31, verse 4, you'll see that Saul was at war with these Philistines. The Bible says, "Then said Saul unto his armor-bearer, Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it." And the Bible says here that Saul was about to be defeated by the enemy, and he took out his own sword and he killed himself with it. Now, for whatever the reason, I'm not interested in right now, but I can just tell you this. Saul committed suicide, and it was wrong. It was wrong for Samson to take his own life. It was wrong for Saul to take his own life. Hey, right there with Saul, at this very same story, was Saul's armor bearer. That was would be Saul's sidekick. The Bible says, "And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him," in 1 Samuel 31:5. The armor bearer turned around and committed suicide with Saul, and it was wrong, because it's wrong for us to decide about the taking of our own life. There's another biblical story of suicide. A man by the name of Ahithophel. Ahithophel was known as a counselor. And at one time, this man named Ahithophel was the counselor for David. And he was David's trusted counselor. He was very loyal to David. However, Ahithophel changed sides. He betrayed David. He became disloyal. And he stood with Absalom in a rebellion against David. Now, get it, Ahithophel, at one point, the trusted counselor of David, he gets a yellow streak down his back, he puts his tail between his legs, he runs to the other side as a coward and a disloyal Benedict Arnold, and the Bible says when this man realized how vile his disloyalty was, it says, "And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and gat him home to his house, to this city, to put his household in order, and hanged himself and died." The disloyalty of Ahithophel had weighed so heavily on his own heart, he went out and he hung himself. So you know that was wrong. Ahithophel should have never done that. You see, as I take you back to the time when Israel had destroyed herself and Hosea came and said, "Thou hast destroyed thyself." That country named Israel as if they had put a gun to their head to destroy themselves. And throughout the Bible, there are stories of people that said, "We'll take our own life." Maybe the most famous suicide story in all of history was that of Judas, the traitor of Jesus Christ. Judas had traveled with Jesus, and then when they were looking for Jesus so that they might crucify him, Judas went, and Judas betrayed the whereabouts of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 27:5, "And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself, because he had betrayed the very Son of God." It was wrong for Judas to kill himself. It was wrong for Ahithophel to kill himself. It was wrong for Saul to kill himself. It was wrong for Saul's armor-bearer to kill himself. It was wrong for Samson to kill himself. There are others. If I had time, I'd like to tell you the other stories. There's a man by the name of Zimri in 1 Kings chapter 16. He killed himself. The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 contemplated suicide when his prisoners almost escaped. Job's wife said to Job, "Just curse God and die." She was saying, "Why don't you go ahead and kill yourself?" Twice, I have faced a situation where a gun was drawn, the hammer was pulled back, and someone was about to kill themselves. One was Mrs. Nash right before she was getting ready to marry Brother Nash. I said, "No, Teresa, it will be okay. Relax." That's not true. I have a toy gun. It's a cap gun. I promise you guys in the back, it's a cap gun, okay? This is my Matt Dillon cap gun, okay? See this little orange thing on the end? This is so I can't even hurt myself with a cap gun. I have two separate occasions been in the presence of someone that was going to kill themselves. One time it was the law would call it a domestic dispute. I call it a fight between a husband and wife or family. And there had been a domestic dispute. The wife had a drawn gun. She tried to shoot herself. The gun actually went off. I was able to say, give me the gun. Give me the gun. Why? I said, well, God loves you. I love you. I'll help you. Give me the gun. What a glorious moment when that quivering, shaking female hand handed me the gun. Give me the gun. Another time, a lady had been abused. She had been raped. She was so depressed, nobody had really helped her with it. She was so depressed, and she had gotten herself a .357. And I had caught wind of the fact that she had total intentions of putting the gun to her head and shooting herself. And by God's grace, we ended up at the same place at the same time. And I watched her reach into her purse, and she knew that I had found out. She pulled the gun out, and she said, I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it. I can't cope. I can't cope. And I remember being able to say to her, please, I beg of you. I love you. I'll help you. There's an answer. We can fix this thing. I watched her hand quiver. I said, give me the gun. Put the gun down. Just like the first person, I'd said, put the gun down. And I watched as the gun came down trembling, as she put the gun down and placed it into my hand. But those stories are not the stories I really want to tell you today. Because you see, the story in the book of Hosea was about a country. And Hosea, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, had said to that country, you have destroyed yourself. As if that country had taken a gun and put it to its own brain and blew its own brains out. Hosea said, you are committing suicide. May I say, I'm worried about America today. I believe America is suicidal. I say to America, put the gun down, America. Put the gun down. And I'm not talking about our giving up our guns. I think we ought to take the guns away from the criminals. But I say to you, I'm worried about America. I think somehow America has a gun to her head. And somebody better speak up, and somebody better show up. Somebody better say to the United States of America, don't commit suicide. I still believe America is the greatest country on the face of the earth. Oh, I don't think she's perfect. I think she has her problems, but I still think America is a great, great country. But somebody better rise up and say to America, put the gun down, America, because I see America is suicidal. You say, Brother Owens, how is it that America is committing suicide? Well, I'm going to tell you today. And just so you know, if you're a guest today, it used to be that preachers used to stand and preach like I'm about to. And that is ample warning for the fact that this is not going to be a 30-minute sermon on the love of God today. I would like to see us save America. I would like to see us salvage a country that used to be a moral, decent, God-fearing country that is now running wild, and America is like a truck out of control heading downhill and its brakes are out. America, America, the name of my sermon this morning is this: put the gun down, America. Put the gun down, America. Say, Brother Owens, how do you feel like America is committing suicide? I'll tell you how. We're a sex-crazed country. You say, that's very bold. I think somebody better get bold, because the devil is very bold about the morality and the deterioration of the morality of our country. There, many of you know the what they call the mark of the beast is 666. I think the mark of America right now is sex, sex, sex. It's everywhere. Now, sex was God-given, and it is pure, and it is holy when it is kept inside marriage vows. P.A. Sorek said this, our civilization has become so preoccupied with sex that it now oozes from all the pores of American life. Now, I'm sorry if the straightforwardness of my preaching makes you feel uncomfortable, but God knows America is in a mess. And I say, America, take the gun down. Put the gun down, America. Don't destroy yourself. Modern-day psychologist, a follower of the reprobate Sigmund Freud, said, virginity is about as useful as your appendix. Well, I've got news for the modern psychologist. Young people ought to go to the wedding altar virgin. And if you sit there and say, I don't think you ought to use that word in public, you are crazy. Virgin is a clean word. All the filth that our society pumps out there, somebody stands up and says, a child ought to go to the wedding altar virgin, and you think I'm perverse? What's happened in America? Take the gun down, America. Don't destroy yourself. Let me give you a few statistics about the sexual revolution in America. 1 million unmarried teenage girls will become pregnant this year. 43% of the teenage girls believe that there's nothing wrong with premarital sex. 36% of the teen girls say they plan to live with a man before they're married to him. 80% of the young ladies who get married have already had sex before marriage. And 2.5 million American men and women will avoid marriage altogether. I say, take the gun down, America. Put that gun down. So what price do we pay for all of the sex? Well, let's see if we can figure it out. Venereal disease now constitutes a public health emergency. Gonorrhea is the leading reported communicable disease in this country, and syphilis is number 3. Venereal disease strikes someone in the United States every 12 seconds. That's 5 victims every minute. Just since the 1900s began worldwide, various forms of syphilis alone have killed 100 million people. We say, well, it's not hurting anyone. Well, you better tell the 100 million that have been killed by the sexual transmitted diseases of an immoral country. During the same period of time in the United States, it is estimated that syphilis has killed more than 3 million babies and more than 1 million adults. 1/2 to 2/3 of the babies born to mothers with syphilis at birth will bear a congenital syphilis in some form. In other words, an innocent baby will be born with a disease because mama was loose and immoral. Herpes, which is a form of venereal disease, has infected from 5 to 14 million people in this country, and the sad fact is that's incurable. God help Massachusetts. Same sex. Let's face it, folks. I am not for gay bashing, but I'm going to tell you the God of the universe is against sodomy. It is against sodomy. It is wrong. Boys and girls, it is wrong for two men to be together sexually. It is wrong for two girls to be together sexually. You say, that's not very popular. I'm not out to be popular. I'm out to be right with God. Put the gun down, America. Put the gun down. Just hang on. You'll have plenty to clap about later. For those of you that can handle it, those of you that aren't liberal, some of you sit back and say, oh, you're just a novelty. No, I'm called a preacher. This is how preachers used to preach back when they had a little backbone. They didn't have their tail between their legs. So, well, I'm not coming back. Well, we'll just pluck your tail feathers while you're on your way out. AIDS runs wild today like a rabid dog. And thank you, television, for all your help. Shows like Sex in the City in Las Vegas about the casinos and the queer eye for the straight guy. Wake up, America! You call that entertainment? What is wrong with us? Pornography and the internet, I'm going to warn some of you parents. Some of you parents will let your kids on that internet all the time. I've got something I'm about to do. I'm going to get some help. Somebody's going to have to help me. I have the internet in my church office. The other day, I don't even hardly know anything about it. The other day, I popped that thing up and I said, well, it talked to me. It said, you've got mail. I said, good. I like mail. Maybe I got some money back from the government or something. Not. Well, so I popped that thing up and I don't know how. First time I got into that mailbox, it shot pornography at me. I thought, how in the world did that get to me? It said right there, this is supposed to go to Rusty Gewin. Sorry, Rusty. Sent it to the wrong mailbox. Oh, it was supposed to go to one of my assistant pastors. I thought to myself, how in the world did they send that trash to my church office? And I'm having it taken out of my office. I will not allow something like that to tempt me. No way. And some of you parents, you say, well, my kids would never. Right. Right. What's wrong with us? I say, put the gun down, America. And I'll tell you something. If you loved America, there's some of you who'd wake up this morning and say, you're right, preacher. You're right, there is a problem. I say, put the gun down, America. We sex everywhere, and we're destroying ourselves. Liquor is running like a river. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1, the Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Shakespeare said, alcoholism is a poison that men take into the mouth to steal away the brain. That was Shakespeare. You know, 11 million drunks in America today. And it's not a sickness, it's a sin. Hey, is alcoholism a disease? If so, it's the only disease that is contracted by an act of the will. Is it a disease? If it's a disease, it's the only disease that requires a license to spread it. If it's a disease, it's the only disease that is bottled and sold. Now, what kind of a fool bottles a disease and sells it to people so they can drink it? Don't you tell me it's a disease. You can't sell diseases in America. Is it a disease? If it is, it's the only disease that promotes crime. Is it a disease? If it is, it's the only disease that is spread by advertising. They actually advertise, come get the disease. Is it a disease? If it's a disease, it's the only one that's given as a Christmas present. You say, it's sickness. You're right. It's sin sick. It's sin sick. 10,000 people are killed each year in the booze-related deaths. Consider the tragedy of liquor. 75 million are harmed directly or indirectly because of alcoholism or problem drinking. For every heroin addict in the United States, there are 15 hardcore alcoholics. That's 15 to 1. Drunkenness accounts for one-third of all U.S. arrests. One-third of all suicides are alcohol-related. One-half of all homicides or killings are alcohol-related. And we sit back and laugh at their commercials at halftime at the football game. Wake up, America! Wake up, good Christian! Take the gun down, America! Take the gun down! On a given Friday night, one out of every 20 persons on the road would not be classified as a safe driver due to the alcoholic content in the driver's blood. 28,400 of the 50,000 people killed in one year's traffic accident had an alcohol level that was above that which was safe for them to be a driver. One-third of high school students will get drunk at least once a month. We are producing 500,000 new alcoholics every year and a new crop every 12 months. We are producing more alcoholics than we are college graduates in America. I say, take the gun down, America. Don't kill yourself. The beer production of the United States of America in one year is 6,200,000,000 gallons. Take the gun down, America. Don't destroy yourself, America. Drugs are consumed like candy in this country today. One out of every six people in the United States takes some type of a tranquilizer. 43 million Americans have experimented with marijuana. 10 million Americans have tried cocaine. There are now over 500,000 heroin addicts in the United States of America. It costs about $28,000 a year to maintain, and this is an average drug addiction in America. There are about 100 Americans that will die every day because of an overdose of some sort of a drug. 400 tons of barbiturates are manufactured in America each year. According to statistics compiled by the United States Department of Commerce, American pharmaceutical companies manufacture enough sedatives, barbiturates, and other drugs to provide every person from the ages 6, from 6 to 8 capsules every year. It's estimated that combined total production of both amphetamines, which are uppers, and barbiturates, which are downers, exceeds 18 billion pills a year. That's enough for 100 pills per person. For the whole continent. I think they got plans on putting us all on something, huh? I was reading a story the other day and it just killed me. It was about infant addiction. a mama had got herself strung out and getting high, and she was addicted. She was addicted to heroin. And a baby was born, and because that baby had picked up the addiction from mother's blood, when the baby was born, the baby had withdrawal symptoms. The baby had to go through detox, and the baby will never be normal again. As I read this story, as the nurse just cried, as the baby's body firmed up, and as the baby threw up all over the place, and as the baby's body quivered, I'm talking about a baby that is 2 days old, affected by a mama that couldn't control herself, that wanted to enjoy herself, as she ruined the life of her infant baby because of the drugs. What's wrong with us, America? In a short period of years, America has become the most drug-addicted nation on earth. Mr. Tom Monty said this in an article entitled, "Is America Going Crazy?" He said, "Drugs have become so much a way of life today that there is scarcely a medicine chest or refrigerator in the country that does not have some sort of mood-altering medication or beverage within it." I say, put the gun down, America. Put the gun down, America. Put the gun down, America. Don't destroy yourself, America. I feel so sorry. You heard me say this last week. You gentlemen that work in the law enforcement field, I feel sorry for you. You really are heroes, and thank God for you, because you got your hands full out there. But I'll tell you, there's one church that stands with you. We're against law breaking. We're against the drugs. We're against the abuse of the alcohol. We're against it here. Hey, and we wouldn't have so many officers hurt out there if more pastors would stand up and preach against it and tell people they shouldn't do it. We've left it all to the government. It's time for the churches to stand up and be counted again. Lawbreakers are they're everywhere. Lawbreaking is so common today. I seen a portion of a verse found in Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 23. It says, "For the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence." Let me give you some statistics. A serious crime occurs every 2.6 seconds. A theft may occur every 4.8 seconds. A burglary every 10 seconds. A violent crime every 27 seconds. A car or a truck theft every 29 seconds. We probably had 27 of them stolen out of our parking lot just this morning. There's an assault occurred every 51 seconds and a robbery every 68 seconds. A forcible rape every 7 minutes and a murder every 24 minutes. And one of America's biggest money makers is crime. It's out there everywhere. Crime is everywhere. An estimated 500,000 people in America are lawbreakers habitually. Gambling. Americans, do you realize that Americans spend more money on the horses and the races gambling than they do purchasing bread to eat? An overwhelming majority of Americans think that gambling is acceptable. Gambling fever is increasing, and it's a calamity in America. They're saying, well, we've got another addiction now. Another addiction. Did you hear about the blonde that caught her husband cheating? They were married. She walked in. There he was. He was with this other woman. She ran out. She ran out and got in the other room, got her gun. She walked back in. There he was with her, with the other woman, with his mistress. That blonde ran in, put the gun up to her head. And the husband said, he started laughing. And the blonde said, "What in the world do you think is so funny?" He said, "You got the gun to your own head." She said, "Don't think that's too funny. You're next." Be careful. Somebody could be hurt. You don't know what you're doing. We're destroying our minds. I say to America, put the gun down, America. Don't commit suicide. Don't destroy yourself. We're destroying our minds with all the garbage from Hollywood. I call it the hellavision. Just pack full of trash today. I don't think that every little thing on the television is wicked and vile, but I'll tell you, the percentages are way too high for me. And for some of you, that's your only entertainment. I feel sorry for your mind. We have kids that can't read today. Hey, they can't read, but they can remote. What's wrong in America? What's wrong? That one-eyed monster, so somebody said, well, you are what you eat. No, you are what you see and you are what you hear. It's what you take into your mind. How much television do we watch in America? According to the A.C. Nielsen report, adult women average 30 hours and 14 minutes a week in front of the television. And don't forget the roots of where most of that trash comes from. Hollywood. Filthy. Children from the ages of 2 to 11, they spend an average of 25 hours and 35 minutes a week in front of the television. Adult men average 24 hours and 25 minutes a week. Teenagers, 12 through 17, average 22 hours and 36 minutes a week in front of the television. Apparently, people don't know that they can't live without the TV. You see, in about 95% of the cases, when there's a TV breakdown, a repairman is called within 24 hours because they can't do without it. There's another addiction for you. If you don't believe it, put yours away for 2 weeks. There's some of you will be doing this. You're going through, delirious tremors. Oh, where's the TV? Try it. I dare you. Lock it in the garage for 2 weeks and do without it. There are some of you, you'd get your fix within 24 hours. You couldn't do without that thing, and it's the worst babysitter in the world. We pop our kids in front of all that trash, and we wonder why they talk back to mama. Have you listened to the kids on television and how they talk to their mom and dad? We wonder why our teenagers want to shoot police officers. Watch some of the trash on the television. I'll tell you, fellas, if I had my way, there'd never be another police officer shot on television. I would ban it. There's something wrong with that. You entertain people by teaching them how to murder. Wake up, America. Take the gun down. And as some of you sit there and you're in shock about the reality, you're in shock that I'm saying it because your mind is intelligent enough to know what I'm telling you is true. I would not offend your mentality to think that you don't see the truth in what I'm saying. You may not like what I'm saying because it interrupts your casual lifestyle, but I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you when you like it. It's when the sins of these crimes come to your house, you'll turn back and say, that preacher was right.
Yeah, that's right.
But because it's affecting somebody else, it doesn't bother you right now. The average American spends about 18 hours each week before the television set. By the time he reaches 65, he will have spent over 6 years of his life watching television. It is acknowledged that television reaches more than 95% of the homes in America, and the average television set is on about 7 hours a day. By the time the average American child reaches adolescence, he will have spent twice as many hours watching television as he did sitting behind a school desk. Believe it or not, he will have spent 22 hours in front of the television and 11,000 hours being taught in school. Even before he reaches the age 5, he will already have spent more time in front of a television than the average student in a liberal arts program spends in a classroom through his entire 4 years of college. We wonder what's wrong. We wonder what's wrong with our kids. You say, well, what's on the television that's so bad? I'm glad you asked. According to a survey of the three major television networks in Washington, D.C., between the hours of 3 p.m. and 11 p.m., the following was disclosed. This is between 3 and 11 p.m. 113 shootings, 92 stabbings, 168 beatings, 9 strangulations, and 10 violent acts. In other words, there was an act of violence every 17.9 minutes and a killing every 43.8 minutes. Alcoholic beverages are being seen or mentioned during television season on an average of 1 every 17 minutes. That's prime time period, 7 to 10 o'clock. NBC is averaging a scene with alcohol every 15 minutes. CBS averages such a scene every 16 minutes. ABC is every 21 minutes. And I say to America, put the gun down, America. We are destroying ourselves. And some of you casual Christians, you sit back and you say, I could find a church that doesn't believe this way. And that church is going to let our country go to hell. Somebody needs to stand up and be counted and tell the truth about this. Wake up, America. What is wrong with us? We're killing our own children. Now, abortion is murder according to the Bible. It's wrong. If you have made the mistake, you have a God that will forgive you. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've not made the mistake, don't. Don't. Every day, 4,400 babies are sacrificed to abortion. 1,600,000 babies somewhere near that every year. In fact, 30% of all babies conceived in this country are killed before they see the light of day. And you know what that is? That's a bunch of sex-crazed people who want to go out, hop in the hay, but they don't want to pay the price for hopping in the hay. Get your character back, America. If you're going to hop in the hay, then pay the price and don't kill a baby so you can go party some more. I need a joke right here because you're awful tense, but I don't have one. I apologize. Everybody just go, relax a little bit. Teen crime is at a confusing epidemic rate. In 30 minutes, somewhere across America, 29 children will attempt suicide. 57 kids will run away from home. 14 teenage girls will give birth to illegitimate babies. 22 girls under 19 years of age will receive abortions and they want to end an unwanted pregnancy. 685 teenagers will use drugs of some sort. 188 young people will experience a serious drinking problem, with 285 children becoming victims of broken homes. Our public schools teach them safe sex instead of no sex, humanism, situation ethics, evolution, a unisex philosophy in home and sports and everything else. And let me say, to those of you that are Christians in the public school system, hang in there. Just hang in there. We need all the truth we can get. But I say, put the gun down, America. You know what's tough about a sermon like this? We are faced to look in the mirror. Say, look at what has happened to America. What's wrong, America? I say, put the gun down. I say, put the gun down, America. Liquor is running like a river. Sex everywhere. The drugs are consumed like candy. The lawbreakers have become common. We're destroying our minds with the television. We're killing our children. And I think the thing that probably disgusts me about it more than anything is we're religious, but we're not right with God. Dead churches everywhere. Churches that will pump. I'll tell you something. The kind of music you heard here this morning is the kind of music we always have. Old time gospel music, where it affects the heart before it gets to your foot. Old time gospel music that's decent and moral and clean. You won't be finding our church going to all the modern ways of trying to reach people. I am not trying to reach the rock and roll culture of the 60s. I'm trying to reach people with the old time ways. I'm not going to sell out for what people say has worked in this modern day generation. What happened to the dignity of churches? Churches don't have preaching anymore. We want to have some preacher stand up there and just comfort and pop everybody, you know, pat them on top of the head all the time. Now, I'll promise you something. You come here, I'll comfort you. You come here, I'll love you. You come here, I will help you to bear your burdens. And if you don't believe it, you just come back. I'll also tell you the truth. You know, if I could preach some sense into your heads, maybe you wouldn't have to be comforted so often with the tragedies that are self-inflicted in life. Churches are liberal. They'll accept anything in the name of the love of God. God never wanted us to love sin. God wanted us to love people. And if a preacher really loves people, he's going to preach against the sin that will destroy them, destroy their families, destroy their minds, and destroy their bodies. Don't you tell me you love people when you let them get away with everything. And so churches will accept just about anything, all in the name of love. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love is not just a gushy feeling. Love is action. Love is movement. And if somebody really loves you, they'll tell you the truth. You will not take it from the demeanor of the man that stands before you today. But let me tell you something. I love you. What kind of idiot stands up here when he's got over 1,000 people in his church and preaches like this? Is there something wrong with him? It may just be that he's got enough sense to know that if you really love somebody, you'll tell him the truth. I'm trying to tell the young people in this congregation, Brother Owens loves you enough. If you don't like me, you remember this. I love you, and I'm trying to help you today. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to hurt the devil. I'd like to hurt Hollywood a little bit. I'd like, hey, listen, the truth is we're in trouble. I say, America, take the gun down. Take the gun down. Got your Bible of the month club. We use the King James Bible here, the old one. The one that everybody said, well, you just can't understand that. I think I seem to understand everything that's going on here today. We've got dead churches. See, we've got religion, but we don't have God. Where's God in our churches? When are we go to the people and say, what do you want? No, go to God and see what God wants in the church. If you're a guest here today, so you know, my congregation doesn't, they don't vote on my preaching. I'll explain to you how it works. This territory up here, this is a platform, this is a pulpit. That pulpit right there is mine. That doesn't belong to my board. It doesn't belong to my tithers. That pulpit right there, that's mine and God's. I don't give answer to anybody here except for my God. People don't tell me what to preach. So if you want to slip a nasty note underneath my door and say, I don't think you ought to preach that, I'll just throw it in the trash, because God tells me what to preach, and I have not sold out to modern day religion, nor will I. I will not sell out to everybody loving me all the time because I get up and tell the truth. And if some of you had any sense, you'd find a church just like that where the preacher's not afraid of everybody, and he'll stand up and preach the truth, even if everybody in the county's mad at him. I believe the old time way, and I plan to continue to believe that way. And for some of you, you men, you've almost got some manhood back. A couple of you out there saying, I'm beginning to like this guy. He makes me bad, but I think I could like this guy. And if you're a sissy and you got your tail between your legs, sir, if you come around long enough, we can get some hair back on your legs, son. Using your wife's nair too much, bud. We got dead Christians everywhere. No convictions. Afraid to stand. Preachers everywhere saying, well, you know, Christians everywhere saying, you know, well, if I believe that, nobody will come around. Brother Owens, if you preach like this, you won't be able to get anybody to your church. You should have told me before this morning. You know what I think? I think the real America is sick and tired of all the religion, and I think America is sick and tired of all the whitewashing, of all the filth, and I think somewhere down inside America, there's enough sense that somebody's going to stand up and say, that's it, that's true, that's true, that's good. We have lazy Christians, they don't want to get involved. One of the biggest problems in America today is our prosperity. All we're interested in is money. Money, 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 money. Get all the money I can. All the money I can. Church members won't go out and tell anybody about Jesus Christ because they're too busy making money. Oh, what would my business associates think if I invited them to church? They might think you're a good Christian. Christians that enjoy the world. You know, there are people sitting under the sound of my voice. You've been out of church, and there's some of you. Your roots are this kind of old-fashioned preaching, but you're so far from God, you're backslidden, and you know it. No soul winning, no tithing. We're all passive about sin. We're religious, but we don't have God. We have dead churches and dead Christians and dead preachers. Preachers are lazy today. They're lazy. They're lazy. They don't want to work hard. People ask me across the country. They say, Brother Owens, what would you say the secret is to the ministry? I'll say, come here. Will they get out a piece of paper? They'll say, teach me. What is it? I say, come here. I say, now, write this down. W-O-O-R-R-K-K. What's that spell? Work. 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 Think 1,000 people just happened to show up? No, somebody worked. We got lazy pastors out there who don't want to do anything for God. They're lazy. They want to sit back and they want to let the world die and go to hell. Well, I'm not in the mood to let my world go to hell. I'm not in the mood of letting my community go to hell. I'm not in the mood of letting my country go to hell. Some preachers better rise up and start preaching again and stand for something in America again. Preachers are money hungry. Preachers have lost their fire. To be honest with you, it's probably a good thing I'm so tired this morning. Because I'm a little wore down and I don't feel like I'm at my best. And some of you are saying, thank God. Preachers have lost their grit. They've lost their fire. They've lost their desire. They've lost their tenacity. And I say we've got a problem in America. We're religious, but we're not right with God. Put the gun down, America. You say, Brother Owens, what is the answer? What is the answer? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is. Say, what is the answer? Salvation. And that means this. Everybody under the sound of my voice is a sinner. The Bible teaches that very clearly. Everyone's a sinner. There's only two kinds of sinners in this building. There are saved sinners and there are lost sinners. There are saved sinners who realize they were sinners, that there was a penalty for their sin, and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And that sinner turned to Jesus and said, I accept what you did for me. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior. And then they got born again. There are saved sinners here, and there are lost sinners. Those are the ones that never trusted Christ. You say, what can I do for America? One of the first things you need to do is get saved. Get saved. Get born again. I say to there's some of you, you virtually have a gun to your head. You're not born again. If you died today, you would not go to heaven. And just so you know, the Bible teaches there's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. You say, well, I think hell is a figment of my imagination. It won't be one minute, baby, after you get there. You'll be burning before you're cold in death. And some of you need to take the gun down and say, all right, I'm trusting Christ. I'm getting born again. What's the answer? It's salvation. What's the answer? Whether we like it or not, it's church. And every time the old church doors open, we ought to get ourselves into church where God's man can preach God's book and God's spirit can fall and God can do something. The right kind of a church. The right kind of a church. I'm talking about a church where there is gospel preaching and where people are getting saved and God is changing lives. So I've been a member of that church for 25 years. It's dead and they don't do anything. And then, you know, God doesn't show up much, but Uncle Roy's buried in the backyard. Y'all know where we're going? You dig Uncle Roy up and bring him out here and we'll put him in our cemetery and you can get somewhere where God's doing something. I'm not trying to take anybody out of a good old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Bible preaching church, but I'm going to tell you something. People are so loyal to something that is dead and it can't be revived. Hey, some churches have already pulled the trigger. They're already in the casket and they're buried. You better find a church that's got a little tenacity to it. The right kind of a church. A church where people get saved. Saved. Oh, we need not a social gathering place. You say, well, Brother Owens, I'm a dignified person in the community. You are known as a wild man. And I'm not sure that my social standing could handle the community, you know, our being here. It's time for some of you to turn your back on some of your social standing and get yourself right with God. I seen the other day on the back of a semi-truck, sign that said, attend the church of your choice. You're supposed to attend the church of God's choice. That's a problem with people. We do what we want. Look at America. What's the answer? It's Jesus. What's the answer? It's salvation and church and getting ourselves right with God. Some of you need to get your family into church. You need to get yourself into church. You need to get a strong marriage going. You need to sit in church together. Tell you something else. I do not believe that a Christian school will save America. I don't believe that for a second. I do not believe that a Christian school will save America. I think a church will save America. But I'll tell you this. I believe there are a whole bunch of people that need some decent Christian schools. I'm not talking about a private school, by the way. I'm talking about where the kids are Christian in the school. The rules are kept. The authority is respected. Our school, we have a school here. Those of you who don't know, it's called Martinsburg Christian Academy. It's not a reform school, by the way. The other day, somebody told me, he said, well, our kid's been kicked out of two public schools. Could we put our kid in your school? I said, why would I want them? Corrupt all my kids? Well, when everything else doesn't work, let's go down to the church. Won't you put God first in your life?
Amen.
What does America need? Some truth. That's what America needs. I say to America, put the gun down. You think, Brother Owens, that you're going to turn America around? I'm just foolish enough to think that I'm going to try my dead level best. With an attitude like yours, you won't turn anything around. And I'd rather burn out than rust out any day of my week. Now, you think that all this is going to make a difference? It'll make a difference to somebody. I may not be able to get them all saved, but I'm going to get some of them saved. We may not be able to salvage all the communities, but we're going to salvage some of them. This is what's said. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Put the gun down, America. Put the gun down. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's some of you need to get born again. Say, what can I do if you're not saved? I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about, you know, your grandma went to church, so you're automatically saved. That is not true. You have to get saved for yourself. I'm not talking about you're a member of a church. Being a member of a church never saved anybody. So I got baptized. Getting baptized won't save you. This is a Baptist church, but nobody's ever been saved by water. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It is your trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Who in this building this morning would say, preacher, I need to be born again. If I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I need to get saved. That's what I need. I need to get saved. Pray for me, preacher, that I'll get born again, that I'll get saved. Will you raise your hand right now? I see hands up already. You say, I need to get saved. I need to get saved. In the balcony, on the lower floor, you say, that's what I need. I need salvation. Be honest with yourself. Are you saved or are you just one of those religious? Religious but lost. Oh, you went to go to church some, you dabble. The question is, if you faced God today, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Who else? You'll raise your hand and say, I need to be born again. I've seen hands. Who else? How many of you? I see that hand. Who else? How many of you would say, preacher, well, I'll not lie to myself. I'll not lie in church. I'll not lie to God. I am saved, and I know it for a fact, and you'll raise your hand. You put your hand up, and you can put it back down. Some hands were not raised. Thank you for your honesty. Here's what's going to happen. In a moment, we're going to have an old-fashioned altar call like churches used to. My assistant pastors will leave the platform in a moment. They'll go down and stand at the end of each aisle down front here. In a moment, the choir will sing, and we will all stand, everybody in the congregation. As we stand, if you're not born again and you want to get saved, you leave your seat, walk down toward the front, walk up to one of the men in the front, and say, I want to be born again. Somebody will take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You can leave this church building on your way to heaven. That's part of the answer for America. Yet there are others here today. There are people in here, you're away from God. There's some of you ought to come down here and get on this altar and say, God, I'm coming back. I want to help save my country. I want to help save my family. Some of you ought to come. If you've been saved, you've never told the congregation, why don't you come so we can tell the congregation of your salvation. If you've been saved but you never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Gentlemen, you take your place. Choir, sing a song of invitation.